You know, I have a target group in mind as I talk to you. Because it's my conviction that the way the parents go in a family is the way the family goes. And I came across a few lines that says that for me, and I want to read them to you. It was a sheep and not a lamb that went astray in the parable that Jesus told. It was a grown-up sheep that wandered away from the 90 and 9 in the fold. And out on the hilltops and out in the cold, it was a sheep that the good shepherd sought. And back to the flock and back to the fold, it was a sheep that the good shepherd brought. Now, why should the sheep be so carefully fed and cared for still today? Because there is danger that if they go wrong, they will lead the lambs astray. For the lambs will follow the sheep, you know, wherever they wander and wherever they go. And if the sheep go wrong, it won't be long till the lambs are as wrong as they. So still with the sheep, we must earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs, even today. If the lambs are lost, what a terrible cost some sheep will have to pay. Is that good? But I think it's good for all of us to recognize the opportunity and the possibility and the responsibility that we have. And to me, one of the most pleasant tasks I ever had was the task of being a father. And I still enjoy that. And we've had a lot of fun raising our family. Now, I want to remind you that raising children is a 20-year process. 20 years. So those of you with preschool children, you got a ways to go, haven't you? So relax, take it easy. There isn't any one day that makes a whole lot of difference, not in the perspective of 20 years. Oh, there are some people who think that. I've heard folks say, you know, I'm this way because I got buttoned up wrong when I was 3. I think that's one of the dumbest ideas I ever heard. And in my own counseling experience with people, I'm not particularly interested, really, in your past. When I realize that you and I have access to the power of God, we have access to His Spirit, and He will answer anybody's prayer who turns to Him for help. And I don't know any place in the Bible where it says that your opportunity to reach an empty hand out to God is hindered because you had a mother. I don't know anywhere where it says that your opportunity is hindered because of your background or your circumstances. I understand the Bible to say that whoever wants to can call on God for help. That's good news, isn't it? Well, but there are some things we need to do as parents, and one of them is setting limits. Now, picture this real nice lady and this real nice man sitting down together, and they're friends. Now, mind you, that's a condition that I'm presupposing. I'm assuming goodwill and friendship and admiration and affection one toward another. Now, that's not optional. You can't take that out of the picture. And if that doesn't exist, then any man that I'm talking to, any woman that I'm talking to, and you're married, and there is this spirit of carnality, that is envying and strife and divisions between you and your partner, that renders you pretty useless as a parent. One of the most difficult positions that you can put a child into, is in the middle between a man and a woman who disagree over what to do with those children. Setting limits then involves this nice lady and this nice man and their friends sitting down. Now, mind you, these people, I'm presupposing that you've paid enough attention to your children so that you understand them. and the two of you sitting down to decide what's best for your children. Doesn't that sound great? The two people in the world who care the most about those children deciding what's best for them. And anybody that loves the Lord, I want to make that qualification. I didn't say anybody that was educated or wealthy. Anybody that loves the Lord and has access to the Spirit of the Lord, and there's the desire to come to a meeting of minds. I can't think of anything that's any more fun than two people like that deciding what's best for your children. Now, part of what you do is to set limits. These are the boundaries. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. There's a lot of freedom within the boundaries, just like a football stadium. A football field is 100 yards long. And I don't know how wide, pretty wide. But there are very definite, specific boundaries on a football field, or a basketball court, or a tennis court. But within those boundaries, there's an infinite variety of opportunity to express your individuality. But there are boundaries. And that's the way it needs to be in a home. There are boundaries. And when you set them, you can expect your children to test them. Now, let me tell you a story about a boy I was talking to and what happens when a man and his wife disagree. Now, this boy, they brought him around because he was smoking. And the parents were concerned about that, and so they had made a deal with him. A while back, they said, if you promise to quit smoking, we'll buy you a bicycle. He said, it's a deal. And so they bought him a bicycle, and it wasn't long, and they realized that he was smoking again. And then they said, if you will quit smoking, we'll send you to your favorite summer camp. And he said, that's a deal. And when he came home from his summer camp, they discovered that he was smoking again. And they brought him to me because they were concerned that they had a son who wouldn't keep his word. You couldn't trust him. Well, I got to talking to him, and this is what I found out. His father had an idea that you shouldn't have ice cream during the day. And you know what his mother would do, this boy's mother? Every once in a while, she'd pick the kids up from school, and they'd stop in to get an ice cream sundae, and the deal was, don't tell Dad. Wasn't she a nice lady? Now, there was another thing that he told me. These people went to a church, and one of the standards that you accept if you join that church is that you don't drink alcoholic beverages. But Dad was the kind of a fellow who liked a good cold beer when he came home from work. And so that's what he did. He'd have a good cold beer, and the requirement was, mum's the word. Nobody talks about Dad's beer. Now, where did this young fella get the idea that he could make an agreement and then break it? Where did he learn that? Isn't it obvious that he learned it from his mother? He learned it from father. You see, these were people who pretended that they were accepting some limits, and then they went ahead and broke them. Mother made a little deal with the kids. Now, why shouldn't the boy make a little deal with Dad and not intend to keep it? Where'd he get that idea? Why, the example was mother. Now, you know, when you set a limit, that limit ought to be binding on everybody in a family, including Dad, Mom, the children.
If it's fair and reasonable.
Now, you can expect your children also to resist those limits and to test them. One time I was speaking at a conference ground, and my daughter came up to me, one of my daughters, just before the meeting and said, "Hey, Dad, could I have the keys to the car after the meeting? I want to take a carload of kids up to Santa Cruz." And I didn't pay much attention. I said, "Okay." And I went to a platform and made my speech about how important it is for a man and his wife to be agreed on the limits and both committed to them. And after I got through with my speech, in this place where I was at, they had a big foyer in the back, and there were a lot of people milling around the back there. And I walked back there, and my daughter came up with her carload of kids behind her and said, "Dad, I want the keys now." My wife was standing there, and she said, "I told you you couldn't go." Well, and there were some people that heard that. So we sort of started assembling another little congregation there to see how was he going to handle that. Now, after all, it is true, isn't it, that you can't think of everything, especially when you're driving. I mean, traveling. But we had a little rule at our house that said, the first parent you ask, that's it. And so all I needed to do was to find out who she had asked first. And it turned out that she had asked her mother first. Now, that's what you call testing the limits. And you can expect your children to pick times like that to do this. Now, in a moment like that, you see, I had to make a decision. Quick! Will we raise children or save face? And we're committed to raising children. And so I said to my daughter, "Well, you know the answer if you asked your mother first." And then her response was, "But Dad, you are embarrassing me in front of all these people." Now, I'll tell you, that's a child putting pressure on you, isn't it? She knew perfectly well what she was doing. And she knew what the limit was. And for us to make sure that that limit holds, that's security. That's dependability. And it's very crucial and very important that your children realize that my mother and father have set limits, they've made them plain, and I can depend upon my father and my mother to carry them out. Very important point, because all through life, there are limits, and there are people making requirements of us. You know, in the restaurant business, they tell us how high off the ground our sign has to be. They even tell us what kind of a sign we can have. And I remember an inspector, I walked into one of our restaurants, and there was an inspector there with a barrel beside him and a pile of our plates. And he was going through these plates, and every once in a while he'd break one over his knee and throw it in that big can. And I said, "What are you doing? These are our plates." He said, "I don't like the shine on these plates." And he just kept on breaking our plates. And you know what I did? I said to him, "That's okay." Yes, sir. He had a right to do that. Why, we had a call one time from a fellow. He claimed he was from an organization called the IRS. And he wanted to come and look at our books. Now, who's he to come and look at our books? You know what I said to our bookkeeper? "Get the books ready." You know, I have more people telling me what to do at this stage of my life than I have ever had telling me in all my life. So we might as well get our children ready to obey some limits. And I think one of the frightening things
In our country is this tremendous wave of undependability and dishonesty that you see on every hand. Setting limits is one of the requirements and one of the opportunities of being a parent. Then another one, when you set limits, many times your children are going to need some help. Now, for instance, I remember seeing this instance once where there was a television room, and there were four children in this television room, and the understanding was no horseplay in a television room, and one of the children, one of the smaller children, was in an ugly mood that morning, and she was going around pestering the other three children. Now, the limit was no fooling around in a television room. Now, how is a mother going to handle that? Now, here's a little girl. She woke up in an ugly mood. And she was trying to figure out how to make herself obnoxious. Now, what's the simplest little way to handle that girl? You see, she needed some help. Now, her mother was a pretty creative person. Now, I suppose some of you would say, you go on in there and swat her. No, then you create a louder mess than you had before. That's no solution. She's already in an ugly mood. And to create a yelling, screaming, hollering child, you know what that lady did? She went into the television room. First of all, what she did was to prepare just as an attractive breakfast as she knew that little child wanted, and she just simply bodily removed her and plunked her in front of the table and fed her something. You see, all that little girl needed was some help in behaving herself. Do you follow me there? Simple solution. You say, oh, but what if she... What are you going to do? Do that all her life? Look, you've got 20 years to raise these children. You don't need to make a crisis on any one day. Be as easy on yourself as you can. You have enforced the limit. She's not going to be allowed to bother those kids in a television room. So she just simply was removed until she could take care of that nasty mood of hers. Help. Physical help. I was in a home one time. We were in a living room, and there was a little boy in the kitchen saying, oh, you nasty, filthy, dirty old thing. I hate you. I can't do anything with you. Well, we went in the kitchen to peek. And what the little boy was trying to do was to move a chair. And the chair got squeezed in an opening. And all the boy needed was a little help. And all the mother needed to do was turn the chair a little bit and move it. You know, I've been in homes where a mother, because they had company, would go in the kitchen and say, will you stop hollering? Don't you realize we've got company out there in the living room? And just the mother would create the great big mess. All this lady needed to do was to go quietly into the kitchen and say, you need some help, don't you? Just turn it a little bit and you can move it. Isn't that simple? What a mess we create many, many times because we just don't understand. All the child needed was a little help. Or maybe your child simply needs a demonstration. Or some kind of an explanation. You know, man was telling me about their little girl, and the mother was complaining that that little girl simply wouldn't brush her teeth. Well, one day Dad was home, and he was standing there in the bathroom, and he realized that nobody had ever shown that little child how to brush its teeth. You know, you can just unthinkingly say, here's a toothbrush, use it. Now, if you set that kind of a limit, every morning you brush your teeth, then if you're thoughtful and do a little bit of observing, that fellow, you see, resolved that issue very simply. He simply realized that kid needed a little instruction.
I think of this girl went roller skating. Oh, she wanted to go roller skating so much. And this was one of the pressures that the mother was putting on a child to socialize with her group. And, you know, she realized when she got there that her little girl didn't know how to roller skate. Some folks would say, get out there and try. All that lady did was get out there and give her a few little tips. A helper. And so we need to think of ourselves as adults and as helping people. So we need to set limits, and then we need to help the children carry out the limits. Now, another thing we need is supervision. I think of this lady who put a piece of paper on the wall. This was a wallpaper wall. And said to the child, here are some crayons, and you can color on this paper. And she got busy, and when she came back, that child had colored the whole wall. And that woman, did she get mad? Ooh, she got mad. Didn't I tell you to limit your coloring to that little paper? That's asking too much of a small child. When you put a piece of wall of paper on a wall and say to a small child, you stay within those limits, you'd better stay there and supervise that child. Personal supervision. Or you might say to your children, it's okay to go out tonight, but I want you back at 10 o'clock. You know, what your children need is some supervision. One of the most important things I believe we ever did when we were raising our children was to see to it that one of us parents was always there when our children came home. They didn't like it. But you know, when your children realize that somebody's going to be there when you get there, that's quite a deterrent and an encouragement. And they would often say, why are you always waiting for me? Well, the answer is very simple. We love you. We're interested in you. We want to know what you've been doing. That's all. And we want to make sure that you get home when you said you would. So, you see, it takes some supervision in order to keep track of your children. The older your children get, they need your personal supervision. I've seen children get in all kinds of trouble because their parents allowed their teenagers to have a party at their house and the parents took off and left them there unsupervised. Your personal supervision is necessary if you want to really help your children to grow up. Now, another thing that you can do for your children is to use pressure. It's time to go to church. I won't go. That's time to use a little pressure. Now, some folks would say, if you don't go, I'll hit you. That's not good. What kind of pressure gets them to church? You lock your arm in his or hers and march them to church. That's pressure. Some of you say, yeah, but when I do that, the kids sneak out. The other, if they sneak out, then you sit them beside you. And when they say, what's the matter? Don't you trust me? The answer is no. No, you've got to prove to me that you are worthy of being left out of my sight. You need to help your children, and you need to supervise your children, and you need to use pressure on your children. Now, mind you, I'm talking about limits. I'm talking about expectations that in the judgment, in your judgment, and in your wife's judgment, is a good thing for your children. I was in a restaurant one time, and there was a little boy standing in the door. There was a cold breeze coming in the restaurant, and the mother said, don't you think you ought to close the door? And the little boy said, no. Oh, come on, close the door. I don't want to. Look at those people are cold. I don't care. And you know, a man got up out of his chair
And he walked over to that kid, and he took him by the hand, and he marched him over to his mother and sat him down and said, "Stay there." And that little boy looked up at that man, and that man looked down at that boy, and a little boy looked at his mother, and his mother looked at that man as though he was a miracle man. And he said to the lady, "All you need to do, lady, is sit him down." You see, the little boy needed some help. He simply needed some adult help. The man didn't even say anything. Even a kid is smart enough to realize that that's a sensible decision that the man made. Oh, parenthood isn't very difficult. All it involves is some deep convictions in your own example in a loving spirit. That's all. It takes a nice man and a nice lady who like each other and who agree on what the limits are. And then you set those limits, you help them, you supervise them, and use whatever pressure you need in order for them to do what in your considered judgment is in their best interests, and that's what's involved in raising children.